بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله نحمد ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: إن الله يحب المحسنين. وقال تبارك وتعالى: شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان إلى آخر الآية. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه وما تأخر، كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. My most beloved ulama ikram, elders and brothers, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, our nourisher, sustainer and provider. Peace and salutations be upon our master, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is a grace, a mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he has given us the opportunity of seeing another very wonderful and blessed month of Ramadan. And we make dua that Allah gives us the ability to see the entire month of Ramadan. Prior to the month of Ramadan, we're making the dua: oh Allah, bless us in Rajab. Oh Allah, bless us in Shaban. Let us see the month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan has commenced. One day is already finished. Today we're already in the second day of Ramadan. So inshallah, we make dua, specific dua, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us life, so that we can see the entire month of Ramadan through this year, and inshallah gives us life to see many, many more Ramadan. It's only the decree of Allah, and only Allah knows how much more we're going to see. Nevertheless, for what we have currently, we should be thank Allah, and we are extremely grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the opportunity to find ourselves in this month of Ramadan. As Muslims, we find whatever we do, we should be doing it in the best manner. Whatever we do, we shouldn't be doing it mediocrely, you know, medium, just to pass or just to get it over and done with. Or we don't do things just because it's a ritual or customary for us to do certain things. Whatever we do, we should be trying to do it in the best manner. And we should be striving for excellence, whatever we do. And we say whatever, in a very literal sense, whatever we do, whether it's our business matters, whether it's our ibadah, whether it's our character, whether it's our social dealings and interaction, everything, we should be of an exemplary and excellent nature. And if we are not in that level of doing things in an excellent manner, then we should look at what our shortcomings, or why am I only performing at a 40% level when I could be performing on an 80% level? If I'm performing at 80% level, what can I do to make myself reach 90% level? And that happens even if your business, if you have office, and you're just getting things done haphazard, and your desk and your table is all in a mix-up, then you shouldn't say, oh, at least I'm getting my work done. You should think, how can I get myself more organized and systematic? And at home, I'm just trying to relate to some things that we all of us are sort of used to. At home, if everything is just dumped in a kitchen or in your bedroom or your room, everything is in a chaos, nobody knows what is happening there, we shouldn't be happy with that condition. Well, I live like this for the past 10, 20 years of my life. My wife has been seeing me in this condition. Why see my wife in that condition? Let us carry on like this and live. We should think and strive and see, how can I improve the situation of how I operate my office? Or how can I improve my situation of my setup at home? And how can it will improve your efficiency? When you see the environment around you is neat, organized, you also feel that you know you're getting somewhere. You'll be more productivity, something that you could have done that you can do, that you normally would take in half an hour to do, because you had efficiency when you organized. Perhaps it take you 10 minutes. That time will decrease. More productivity. You will be more content with what you do. You will find you want to do it more and more because of you just being organized and doing things in a very different way. So as Muslims, whatever we do, we should be striving for improvement. We should be striving for doing things in a very excellent, in a best possible manner. And if we are just doing things like that, as another angle to look at it, is as not being doing things, we should not be doing things because it's a customary thing or ritual. Every year Ramadan comes, we go for Taraweeh Salah, and every year Ramadan comes, we give people Halim, and every year Ramadan comes, we have our Naan, and we have our Samosas, and the preparation starts, and Ramadan comes, and Ramadan goes, Ramadan comes, Ramadan goes. It just becomes like a customary thing. We just went through those rituals, and our memories of Ramadan goes by, and ask you, tell me about your last year Ramadan. What do you remember of Ramadan of 1438? It's 1439. So the memories are, well, the Samosas were good, and so much of Halim we had. What type of memories is settling in our minds? We should now think as a Muslim, I should be now striving for improvement and reaching the level of excellence in whatever we do. Mediocrity or just getting over certain customs and rituals, it should be something, you should not be content with. That is why Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. That Allah loves when somebody does something, he does it in an excellent manner. For example, one person came to the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was sitting in a masjid, and this person came, he performed his salah, and he came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, go back, kum fasalli fa innaka lam tusalli. Go back and repeat, read your salah again, because you haven't performed salah. Now according to him, he did everything, up, down, ruku, sujood, and everything, and he came. But Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him to go and repeat. So he went second time and he repeated his salah. He came back, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him again, kum fasalli fa innaka lam tusalli. Go back, go repeat your salah, because the way that we have done is something wrong, not correct. So he went, and according to how he thought he was doing it, he did it again. Third time he came, same. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, go back, repeat. He went, repeated, he came back to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he said to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, well, I don't know, you explain to me what is the problem with my salah. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to him that when you perform your salah, when you go into ruku, you go into the position of ruku, your body needs to go to a complete stop. Read your tasbihs. When you're waking up from ruku, your body must come into a complete stop. It's what is called ta'adilul arkan. Postures of salah, you come to a complete stop. You go down into sajda, in between the sajda, you can't just wake up halfway and go back into sajda, the second sajda, you have to come back, sit in the complete position where your body is at rest, then you go back into sajda again. All this what we call ta'adidul arkan. Every posture must be done in a way that your body has come to a complete stop and is still. And if you don't do this, then you have, actually your salah is deficient, and it's a wajib of salah. If you purposely do it, your salah is not even counted. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was performing his salah. This individual, he was performing his salah. According to his mind also, he was doing salah. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to him how it needs to be done to reach the level of perfection and excellence. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also explained a similar concept. He says, when a person comes to Qurbani time, you know, he says, فَأَحْسِنُوا الذِّبْحَ. You shouldn't be, for example, sharpening the knife in front of the animal. And when you're slaughtering the animal, if you take a blunt knife and you slaughter the animal, the job is done. You have slaughtered the animal. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. What you must do is make sure the knife is sharp. And now when you slaughter the animal, it's done in the excellent manner, in the best way. So the point is, I'm just giving these two examples to show from the hadith, how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed the sahaba. They should be doing things in the best manner, not just getting done and over with. That animal, if you slaughter it now with a sharp knife, it will make it easy for that animal, and the animal will not go through pain, and alhamdulillah, you get a better product at the end. The end result is better. So in every aspect, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he told the sahaba, he said, "Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli," that you should perform salah how you see me performing salah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about the rituals of hajj, etc. He said, "Khudu anni manasikakum," take from me your rituals. Look at how I am doing it, and this is how you should be doing it, not just anyhow. So it's important for us, as a preamble to my discussion for today, is remember whatever we're doing, we should never be ever content and satisfied. Well, I got it done and over. As a Muslim, we should always be striving to be getting to the next level of becoming more perfect, becoming excellent at what we're doing. Yes, nobody is, as we know in the famous saying, nobody is perfect. We are all humans. But it starts off, if you acknowledge that we have room for improvement, then inshallah you will work to that improvement. And in a business context, in a business environment, everybody sort of appreciates that concept, that principle. They know that how we can improve our turnover, how we can improve our marketing department, how we can improve the different facets of our business so we can take it to the next level. So in deen, in aspects of our ibadah, in aspects of our Ramadan, aspects of every aspect of a Muslim's life, we should always be striving and looking out for opportunities and how we can now improve and take our life actually to another level. Our spiritual life, which is actually the more important part of our lives. We spend so much of our time, you know, worrying about our physical adornment and beautification. Ramadan is all about the spiritual aspects. That is why we're not eating during the day. Don't worry about the food. Don't worry about the drink. Don't even worry about your partner relationships. Don't worry about that. Now it's all about focusing on the spirituality. How I can get that spiritual inner ruh of minds connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's about building up that connection, getting ourselves realigned and reconnected once more with our purpose and why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. And that is an important dimension we need to remind ourselves of. This Ramadan is about spirituality. Ramadan, alhamdulillah, is a very, very great amount of effort we all bring when it comes to our social responsibilities. And at home, we know the iftar is there, and the amount of sharing we do with each another, and we're sending the savories from home to home, and the halim notices, and all that we know it takes place. It's a good vibe that comes about in Ramadan. But the objective and the purpose of Ramadan is about spirituality. About spirituality, improving the spiritual aspect of our life, that dimension, that inner qualities in our life need to improve. That connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs to be realized. After all, that's why we are fasting. Otherwise, many people, Nabi sallam said, رُبَّ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوعِ. The only thing they get out of their fast is they remain hungry. رُبَّ قَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ قِيَامِهِ إِلَّا التَّعَبِ. People perform 20 rakats, up and down. 40 sujood more extra in the month of Ramadan, each rakat, two sajdas. And you just went and made yourself tired. And some cases you read three paras every night, and you finished after 10 nights, and alhamdulillah, we spoke about it, and how quickly the imam finished, and mashallah, in some places, and I went to another venue. Think about the discussion we have about the Taraweeh Salah, and then we need to shift the focus about the objective of the Taraweeh Salah as well. In Salah, when you're performing Salah, for example, the Taraweeh Salah, the closest position a person is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he is in sajda. أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَهُوَ السَّاجِدُ. So in Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us 40 more opportunities every day. As though he's saying, right now, 40 times more. Go down and put yourself, lower yourself into sajda. Your forehead is touching the ground, your nose is on the ground, your hands and everything is lower. You can't go any more lower than that. Human being is gone right down. Lower yourself and get yourself connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what we do is even sometimes the Taraweeh performing, perhaps the sajda is not even correct. Down, up, down, up, down, like a hen that's pecking. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us about the worst type of thief is a person that steals from his salah. Whereas the whole salah and the whole idea of Taraweeh was to get enjoyment from the tilawat of Quran. Now we're looking out for that venue where they got the fastest tilawat of Quran, where they're finishing of earliest. Oh, I want to make my khatam in 10 nights and finish, and the rest of the month I'm going to relax. The whole mindset, the spiritual dimension of Taraweeh Salah is being defeated if that is the type of discussions we have. Rather, we should change the type of conversations we have. MashaAllah, where is the Taraweeh Salah? Maybe the tilawat of the Quran is beautiful. MashaAllah, and I'm enjoying the tilawat of Quran and the sujood. I can make properly each sajda I'm going. I can make my tasbihs and I can make my du'as. There's no concession just because we want to finish 10 minutes earlier. Then now we forget about, for example, some places they have the question, now we did the short durood. So we read tahiyat, at-tahiyat, also the Hafiz Abdul shot through that at-tahiyat and the durood. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And the only part of the tilawat you heard is ya'lamun, ta'lamun, taf'alun, finish into ruku, and the salah is finished in that way. Actually, brothers, we are making then a joke of what the salah is all about. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about Taraweeh Salah. He said, ju'ilat kurrat ayni fi salah. The coolness of my eyes is in salah. When you enjoy something, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should tell to Bilal radiallahu anhu, ya Bilal qum fa arihna bis salah. Oh Bilal, stand up, give us comfort and enjoyment through salah. So I ask you a question, when you're enjoying something, when you're getting comfort from something, when you're getting benefit from something, do you want you to get over quickly with it, or you want to spend more time in it? Logically, all of us, when you're enjoying something, when you're taking benefit from something, we see great nur coming from something, you want more of it. So how come then we say we want to go to the place where the quickest salah is getting over and done? So let us change our mindset and try and do everything we do in an excellent manner. The salah also should be done in a beautiful manner. You know, presenting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, He says, أَوَّلُ مَا يُحَاسَبُ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ. First question that will be accounted for on the day of Qiyamah is about our salah. And in Ramadan, if each night of Ramadan there's 40 sujood that we have, and mashallah, most of the masjid, if you look at the average, is a tilawat of one sipara of the Quran, one para, one juz of the Quran, 40 extra sujood. In 10 days, you got 400, 40 times 10, 400 sujood in 10 days. In 20 days, you got 800 sujood. At the end of Ramadan, you got 1,200 sujood extra. 1,200, think of it like that, 1,200 sujood. Take each of the sujood, multiplied by 3 tasbihs. Each sajda, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Every time you are glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 1,200 times so many, how much we get? Tasbih, just one, just the tasbih of the sujood in the ruku. That is how we should be now changing and actually our attitude towards the salah and making the salah actually something we are looking forward to so that I can spend more time in trying to get connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like, you know, you want your car battery to be charged or your cell phone to be charged, and now you take it, you don't even plug that thing properly, and you take it and you go, and now you've got to phone, that thing is not working. So you have to leave that thing to get charged properly so that you can get mileage out of that phone or that car for that matter. If the battery is dead, you have to charge it overnight. They say overnight you must charge, otherwise that thing is going to die. So in that salah, we are actually using, or that's supposed to be the moments of getting our batteries, our spiritual batteries charged. But what we are doing quickly without charging it properly, after that now we're going home and we're relaxing and we're enjoying ourselves, whatever else needs to be done. So let us try, inshallah, to change the mindset. I just want to explain something very quickly and we'll try and finish up in the next few minutes. It's a concept I would like or perhaps to take home with us and maybe discuss it today when you go back home. You know, after Jummah Salah today, there's no dal and rice to eat, no biryani. So that few minutes, that 15 minutes that normally, or half an hour that we are spending to sort of spending and eating, what you're going to do now, we have to put an alternative over there. Some of us will go back to business, some of us will go back to sleep or whatever it is. Maybe we can spend that little bit, 15, 20 minutes. If you don't have somebody to discuss it with, maybe your wife doesn't want to listen to you, or maybe nobody else to talk to, then maybe sit and think and reflect about the discussion. But more importantly, it should be a self reflection. Each of us will have the self-reflection on a concept which is in an acronym. The acronym is SMART. Right? So this Ramadan, inshallah, we're all going to try and work smartly. Right? We're going to, mashallah, we are working previously, but perhaps on this Ramadan, we're going to try and remember this work. Let's try and work smartly. So this word SMART, it has the letters S-M-A-R-T. So by today's discussion, inshallah, we're going to try and remember what the S stands for, what the meme, the M stands for, A-R-T. It actually is a business concept. It's regarding the setting of goals. So I'll try, inshallah, to relate it to this month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, it's still early in Ramadan. It's still the second day of Ramadan. So we still got another 28 days. Allah knows best how much more. But we can plan. And we set ourselves some smart goals this Ramadan. Inshallah, we will see a better, you know, at the day of Eid, is the day of prize giving. And the day of Eid, we want to all get the certificate. The child works hard from the beginning of the year, so he writes the examination, and inshallah he wants that awards day, his name must be called out, that so and so worked very hard, excelled in examination, and he gets this award, he gets his trophy or his certificate, and he's very, very proud and happy about his accomplishments. Now we all want this certificate. We're not going to get any paper or cheap trophy or maybe some medal to hang around our necks. We're not going to get any of those things. We're going to get the sort of acknowledgement from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about it in hadith. I don't have the time to go into that discussion. But what does a person, when he works hard the entire month, he expects salary from the employer. So we also, we work hard the entire month by setting some real goals, smart goals. So inshallah, the creator, employer of all employers, the owner of the entire world, has some nice remuneration and some nice salary for us. You're not going to be any dollars and rands of this world. But inshallah, it's very great ajr from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should be sort of have our mouths, you know, we're sitting here, perhaps our mouths are watering. That last, generally the first Ramadan, mouths water, and you think about it, it gets a little bit difficult, but as we go, it gets a little bit easier. Mouths will be watering, well, for the time of iftar. So our mouths should be watering to see now what how much I can now strive and earn from the treasures of Allah subhanahu, how much of more ajr and reward I can get from Allah subhanahu wa this Ramadan. So these smart goals, firstly, the first principle is we should see how we can look at setting specific. So S is for specific. Let's be very, very specific. Because what happens is sometimes we sit and we say, okay, I will read Quran. In Ramadan, I'm going to give charity. Or Ramadan, I'm going to, whatever, help somebody. Different things. We have vague type of ideas about what we want. So this Ramadan, let us try and be specific. Specific, in other words, I use the example of tilawat of Quran. So we say we're going to read Quran. But if us sitting here today, we can be specific and say, I will read one Quran. And this is how I'm going to do it. For me to reach, complete one Quran this year, or this Ramadan, I will need to complete one juz minimum every day, or 1.25 juz. And for me to do that, based, each one sitting here got their own circumstances. Somebody is a doctor, somebody is an accountant, somebody is business, somebody is going to school, somebody is going to university, housewife. Each one got their own context and circumstances within which environment with which they work. So within that, you look at your own lifestyle and see how you can set specific goals. This is how much of Quran I'm going to read, and this is how I'm going to do it. So setting of these goals is very, very important, and let's try and be specific. On this S point also of the smart, let's try and be simple. Specific and simple. Because sometimes we try and be too enthusiastic, and what happens is it starts off with this josh. In Urdu they say this josh. So you do things and it starts off with this big, and the first day you took the Quran, mashallah, you stayed up the entire night, or you read 5-10 siparas of the Quran, and you heard about this person, how much of Quran they read, and that person, how much of Quran they read. Alhamdulillah, it's nice to look up at those who are excelling, but we should try and keep it as simple against our lifestyle. Something that you can manage. So simple in that context, as well as simple that came to my mind, I must reiterate this. On our tablecloths, on the point of simple, on our dastarkhans nowadays, on our tablecloths, iftar, sehri, sometimes we have gone out of, I would say, maybe control, out of bounds, sometimes we've gone out of the limits, and the whole focus then shifts. Ramadan, yes, we're going to have iftar, we need to eat, we need to feed. But the simplicity has come out from the tablecloth. Simplicity. Nabi Sallam's life is a simple, is a good example. Khajur, water is sufficient. Have a couple of savories, whatever you need. But there's no need for extravagance of wastage and filling the tablecloths at home or in the masjids or wherever we're having in such a way that it became now more like a party that we're having. And every day of Ramadan is a party. Then now it shifts the focus again. You eat so much, you can't perform a salah, then the amount of food that you eat, type of food you eat, affects your health. So simplicity. So the S of the smart is the simplicity and being specific. Then the M of the smart is to measure now and monitor. Because you set these specific goals, and now first day when you started, I'm going to read 1.5 para, one juz. What happens? You get caught up. If you don't measure, then there's going to be a problem again. You need to see now, how far have I gone? And if you have not done it, so for example, I'm again using the example of tilawat of Quran, you set up a goal, and simple say you're going to read 1.25 juz or one juz every day of Quran, and that day, you couldn't do it, then you shouldn't say, okay, I'll cover up in a weekend, you'll keep amassing and amassing, and eventually become difficult for you to do it. So you should have a sense of restlessness that day. You know what, I have to finish this one para, and you got busy that day, so by the time you go back home, you may have been tired, so you didn't manage to finish that allotted part that you had specified for that day by that night. So what happens the next day? Now you got double to do. But now you need to sort of adjust. You should be feeling a little bit uneasy now. I had a goal. I had to do something. Let me see how I can make a plan on day two so I can finish. It doesn't become now. Keep on building up, and it becomes where it will just become too much, and then you give up. So there should be some sort of measurement and monitoring the progress of those specific goals that you have set up. Then the A is to then attain and arrange your life. We need to see now, okay, I've attained my goal, and you have to arrange yourself, your life around those. Because it will require adjustments. If you want to do something in life, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّمْ سُبُلَنَا. Allah wanted, He could have made everybody in this world Muslim, He could have made everything easy for everybody, but this is a world of asbab. In other words, this is a world of means. this is a place we have to sort of make effort from our side, we have to make sacrifices. So now we have to also arrange our lifestyle. Perhaps the A of the smart could be arrange and maybe align our lifestyle, if you're going to use those words. Alignment and arrangements of different aspects of our life. I don't have time to go into the details, but the important point is now we need to sort of focus and arrange. If there's certain things that you could postpone to later after Ramadan, it's not a priority now, because I've got a certain specific goal that I need to make sure I achieve in this month. So do that, postpone it. And sometimes it could be assigning. The A could be for assigning. There's something, you know, you can get somebody else to do it. You can delegate it. Maybe you can get somebody to help you to do something. Then many hands will make the work light. So get that work so that you can achieve that goal that is required for you, which is perhaps completion of the Quran. And then the arm. We have to be realistic. Whatever we're doing, you can't be somebody that is over realistic about your actual situation. You have to be realistic that this is my current situation, this is what I'm able to do, but I will try and achieve that goal, inshallah, based on your situation. So realistic. And then we find that the T of the smart, it should be timely and timeous in whatever we're doing. As I mentioned earlier, is linked to that, is try to be timeous and see that we don't carry forward. Habul amali ilallahi adwamuha wa in qalla. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the most beloved of actions to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those that are done in consistency. Little dosages, but being done consistently is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you'll find at the end that that same mission and that goal will be easily achieved. And the tea could also be time for you to treat yourself. You know, if you treat yourself, I'm not saying, sometimes we have a wrong concept as Islam now, you can't treat yourself, you can't have fun. When I say treat yourself, it means you actually sort of trying to motivate yourself. It's like if you know you're going to get some good business profit out of something, you'll make all the adjustments we get made in business. So you see, you're treating yourself, you'll take, maybe you go buy something. So you treat yourself. Treating yourself doesn't mean you must eat so many ice creams and cakes and all of that only. You can treat yourself in a way that you become now motivated. Inshallah, the day of Eid will come, maybe you'll treat yourself with all the sweetmeats that will come. But you treat yourself that you become motivated from within. Intrinsically, what nobody else needs to tell you, from within your own self, you are self-motivated to get towards achieving those things. So the T could be either cheating yourself or being timeous in whatever we have been doing. We make dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability of understanding. I spoke in the beginning about doing whatever we do in an excellent manner. Not taking things just as a ritual and a custom, but trying to do things in the closest manner so that we can achieve an objective and a goal. And then I spoke about the SMART concept, where the S stands for being specific, being simple, setting these goals. Then the M was to measure what we are doing. The A was to assign things or to attain what we have achieved. It could also stand for arranging. And the R was being realistic, and the T is treating ourselves and being timeless with whatever we are doing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us have a smart, you know, make us smart this Ramadan. They say you can do something anyhow, but if you do it smartly, then you have quicker results. You'll have also results that are more productive, and also you'll feel happy about what we have achieved. And maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us ikhlas in whatever we do, because what we are doing, it shouldn't be done for anybody else. It's all about our own reformation. I am the greatest beneficiary of whatever I end up doing. And inshallah, we have a spiritually uplifting month of Ramadan. And inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this Ramadan a month that also we do not forget the plight of our Muslim brothers and non-Muslims throughout the world. It's a month of Shahrul Muwasat, of generosity and sharing. So that also, inshallah, we should be smart. I only use the example of Tilawat of Quran. The same principles will apply in every aspect of everything we are doing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all our ibadah and give us the istiqamah in this month. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.